Hey, good morning. Thank you all for tuning in again to another Friday edition of the Lowdown. We had a cancellation yesterday, and through the grace of our relationship with the school district, this is actually a show that I think is really important to do right now, and we were able to put it together. So I'm happy to be able to welcome into the studio Angie Shervinak, the principal at Maine Elementary, Eric Anderson, the principal at the middle school, who's on the phone, Neil Heck, the assistant principal at the high school, and Jen Schaaf, the director of curriculum and instructor from the Kodiak Island Borough School District. So I know there are many, many people in the community who are interested in what's going on with our school district and all of the changes that need to get rolled, that need to have already have happened by now, that are ready to get implemented on Monday when we go into an online platform for school district directing school. Eric Anderson, the principal at the middle school, is currently in Anchorage and has a meeting at 9:30 this morning that he needs to go to with his staff. So we thought we'd give an opportunity first for you, Eric, to tell us a little bit about what's going on at the middle school and what the kids can expect.
Well, thank you. Thanks for giving the opportunity to speak today. And I think that, you know, everything's happening so fast and so furious. We made changes very quickly. Thankfully, we were given some time before spring break, 3 days, an hour each day, to start the process of training our teachers on online software that they could use with their kids. And so when we came back, we found out from the governor that spring break would be extended in hopes to prepare for online education statewide. And so in doing that, we are focused on online education, but our first focus is the health and well-being of the students and making sure that that they are still feeling connected to the school, and teachers have been recently reaching out and calling students in their advisory classes at the middle school level and touching base with them. We have a phone survey that they're going through with those students and making sure that they're getting what they need. And having done that part, we, for academic purposes, we are using two platforms right now. One is called Unified Classroom, and it's a program that allows teachers to chat with students via online, also to post assignments and other activities, such as a video maybe, or a voice recording to listen to, and complete the lessons that way. And also, we have another platform called BlueJeans, and that is a video conferencing tool that teachers can speak face-to-face with students online. Many people are probably familiar with, like, Zoom and Google Hangout. It's similar to that. As we go forward, teachers have been creating lesson plans that are modified for an online environment. And that's one of our biggest challenges right now, is going from a brick and mortar school where we have hands-on activities and lots of Socratic discussion, you know, within the classroom. And then all of a sudden we're on an online environment, which is very, very different. And so teachers are working at setting expectations for the students, such as when to check in, due dates for assignments, and responsibilities for an online learner. So they've been doing an outstanding job, the teachers, of creating so much and so little of time given to them, because it's very different from what they were asked for. It's like starting all over in some respects, but at the same time, continuing on with what you were teaching for the two-thirds of the year. So so I am just really proud of the teachers and how they've come together, and they collaborated and really fed off of one another to create lessons that they hope that will work with an online environment. We are trying to stay fluid and flexible as we go forward. If things aren't working, we can change them up and continue to work with each other to come up with alternative lessons that will work better. That's it in a nutshell right now. And 90% of my teachers, I'd say 100% today, are ready to go on Monday. They're continuing to call students and throughout the days, and we got a lot of students to contact, and we got our phone connection finalized with a computer program yesterday, so teachers are using that, and things are progressing nicely. We'll see. We'll get it started on Monday, and then we'll reassess from there.
Okay. Collectively, are you all working on the same platforms?
We are. So, middle school and high school are working on the same platforms. The elementary would be some different platforms.
Okay. So health and well-being calls that are going out to the students, is that in preparation? Is that just to see how they're doing or to get them ready for Monday technically?
See how they're doing, getting them ready for Monday. Seeing what their technology needs are, and we're trying to help them out with that. Not everybody has access to technology, so we have to find workarounds with that. GCIA has been very generous in providing internet for students for the next 2 months. So that's community coming together right there. And we're trying to get that in place for students who need it and find out who needs it and who needs something else. You know, whether there's all kinds of variables attached to this quick change in educational method.
So you probably have different levels of experience and technology and different platforms that the kids are experiencing. There's probably different levels of, you know, how a kid learns, and you also have to deal with the same thing with the teachers, right? I mean, there's got to be different levels of experience and comfort on the teacher level with delivering. Have you gotten to a place now you say 100% of your teachers are ready to go on Monday with what kind of support?
That's a good question, and you had lots of parts there that I can talk to. Not all kids are used to an online environment, so that will be a learning curve. Not all teachers are that familiar with the platforms that they're using. So they've been working on them for the last week solid. And the week before, half a week before spring break as well. So there is a level of anxiety that comes with that, and that teachers are trying to be as prepared as possible to make sure that the kids are successful in their start. And we're trying to keep things simplified as much as possible so kids can be successful in their first few weeks of online school.
So the interaction that you've had already with the students and the parents has been pretty positive?
Yes. Yes, it has been positive. And parents have been extremely patient with us, and we really appreciate that as we head into this new learning environment that for all of us. But there's always a certain amount of anxiety that comes with it too. You know, kids aren't going to lose any credit, for, this new line of, this new educational method. Kids are not going to be left behind. We're going to be reaching out to those kids that are struggling and trying to give them the support they need. And, we've really put a lot of measures in place to try to compensate for that.
So how do we do that though in a distancing community? You know, if you
communication, calling home, asking what the needs are, what can we do differently, working as a team to come up with ideas for how to address certain problems. We don't know what the problems are going to be sometimes.
One of the first things that we ask teachers to do and administration is to make sure that we're checking in with families and seeing how they're doing and building that relationship and keeping that relationship. There's some families that are not going to be ready to go online and do education that way. So that was one of the reasons for that home interview, is to say, hey, how are you doing? What can we do to help you out? Do you know, can we hook you up with any supports in the community to make sure that you are getting what you need right now? And then we'll check back in with you when you're ready to do this with your kids too. So just making sure that we're supporting our families in this transition for them too, working from home, maybe not having a position at work right now, having to be that social distancing and in their homes. So how can we help them first? And then we'll get to the education of their students, which also means we're starting next week planning for next year and what next year may look like and how we can get our students back up and running if they are missing some of that educational piece. Lots of pieces in place and lots of things that we're working on.
We know that meeting those basic needs of the hierarchy, food, shelter, safety, is essential. And so the message to families, the message to our teachers, from our superintendent, from our whole district, has been, we care. We need this to be a place where you can be comfortable, feel safe, and then we'll think about that education piece. But meeting those basic needs has been
and building that
focus,
partnership.
Yes.
I mean, the partnership is so important that we keep that going, and that our students know that, their teachers are
care.
Still here. I can tell you that 100% of our teachers have been pouring their heart into this, and they are so ready to see their kids. They were so excited about being able to call. One of our teachers actually FaceTimed with each of her students because she knew she was missing them so badly. So our teachers are ready for this. When we say ready, it's a change for everybody, a shift in thinking. We're trying to support them as much as we can. We have daily trainings on any of them, on any of our platforms that we're using. I did three myself yesterday, and making sure we've got open hotlines for our teachers to call in and just ask questions on how they can get this through. So lots of things going on in the district.
And I wanted to share about the communication piece. And before I get started, I wanted to really thank our teachers who have worked so diligently over the last, I would say, several weeks. And I really think Sunday night's going to be a restless night for a lot of our teachers, a lot of our parents. It's almost like the night before the first day of school. So
yeah.
I think, there's going to be a lot of nerves on that first day, just like coming to the first day of school, whether the student's in first grade or ninth grade. It's going to be a lot of nerves and anxiousness. I did want to let the public know, especially if you have a high schooler, this week your student is getting a call from their advisory teacher, which is something like a homeroom when we went to school. Next week, every single teacher that student has will call them next week. So a student that has seven periods is going to get seven calls from seven different teachers that first week to reach out, kind of share how their class is going. I know that's a lot, especially if you have two, three, four kids in the high school. That's a lot of calls. But then after that, it'll go to email, or depending on what the student's needs are, the students will be able to email the teacher. If a student needs to talk to the teacher, they'll communicate back and forth, whether it's on BlueJeans, Unified Classroom, or even a phone call. That way it doesn't get, if they need the answer right then and right now.
This makes me think about resources on the other end, though, and that in some families with three, four kids, mm-hmm. with one laptop, and one cell phone, or not even a cell phone, how are we going to be able to deliver information to that family?
So that's where the teachers are reaching out to the students, finding out in one of these survey questions is, when's the best time to communicate with you? When's the best time for you to learn? So part of the asynchronous model is where the information is out there on the Unified Classroom teacher pages, and a student may be able to access it anytime during the day. And then a teacher would have something kind of comparable to what the college has, where there's office hours or certain times during the day where they'll be able to reach out to the teacher during the contract day. So it's going to be very open, and I think Eric said it best, it's going to be fluid and flexible. This first week, I keep thinking it's like the first week of school where you're trying to get everything down, new students into a new building. That's exactly what this is. We have students that are new in a new online building. So we'll get through the first week with some of those procedures. And each child has a support group here at school.
Each child, your question, Mike, about what if they have one computer.
Oh,
each
thank you.
Student has an iPad. Most of the high school and middle school students have utilized the iPad during the course of the year. Elementary deployment of iPad began yesterday and will continue today.
What do you mean deployment?
Give it out.
Yeah.
Passing
yeah.
out the iPad.
Your teachers use big words.
Peterson had a successful handing out of iPads.
I mean, these are the iPads student. That they already have that are at were at the school, and now
yes.
you had to go get them
Correct.
Out of quarantine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And at the elementary level, too, on Wednesday, we sent out a paper packets for the families to start with. And again, I think flexible is the best word we can use because we know that it's going to take some time to address, I've got three students at home or I have three children at home. How am I going to do this? As well as our teachers who have children at home and managing that piece from there as well. So flexibility in meeting the needs of our students wherever they're at is the goal. So that's where we're headed.
Eric, cognizant of your time, I know that you have a meeting here in a couple minutes. Can you leave folks with what you believe the biggest challenge to the middle school kids and teachers is going to be, and what your how people can help you?
Well, thanks. So like we said earlier, this is a big change for all of us. It's a big change in learning platform for the teachers. It's a big change for the students. But I also want to put a plug in for parents working at home. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And, you know, to be a working parent at home, now to be the homeschool parent, and also the teacher, it's not normal. It's not a normal environment. So for parents. And so we, you know, when it becomes stressful, you know, remember family's first. Family is first in all of this. And that in the times of need that we're in right now, that we stay focused on the needs of the child. And that the health and well-being of the child comes first. So I think our biggest challenges are being flexible and patient. And I think we really need that. And we need that as we go forward.
Now, how have you been able to implement the staff that are not members or that aren't teachers to help you do what you do?
Our aides are still assigned to their teachers. And they will be helping their students. They have virtual breakout rooms that they can help their students one-on-one with, face-to-face with video. And they will still be able to help them with their work. So it's somewhat similar in a way, but still different.
Okay, well, best of luck to you in the first day of school. And let anybody know if the community can help you out with what you're trying to do there at the middle school.
We appreciate the support. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Bye-bye.
Let's go into the war room for a minute. As this starts to break in early March and you all are looking down the road and trying to decide, you know, what happens if spring break goes long? Which actually became a reality. What were those first early discussions about? What are our options here, and where are we going to go, and how are we going to provide this information and education to our kids?
I'll go ahead and answer that as a little bit, and then let others chime in. Is we started planning then and looking at multiple platforms. We started looking at what the district could handle, what bandwidth we might have to support it. So Blue Jeans is something that we already have, and a lot of our staff, well, some of our staff were probably familiar with it already. Its impact on bandwidth, from my understanding, was minimal. So that is a platform where they could hold video conferencing was something that came out of that. As we went on, we started also looking at Unified Classroom, which is already part of PowerSchool, which is a component of a program that the district uses district-wide. And a lot of our teachers are used to it. The middle school, just kind of propping up them a little bit, is they're very familiar with it. Several of the teachers at the high school are familiar with it. So we started those trainings just before spring break.
So this was something already being used a little bit.
Yes, it wasn't something brand new. It's going to be brand new for some of our students. It's definitely going to be brand new for some of our parents. But as we go through this, there's some things over here. I'm looking, we have some posters hung up, and
there must be an elementary teacher in the room.
I think so.
There is. Well, you started to first ask about, you know, the war room or the strategy room. On the 2nd of March, we were pulled together in the morning, Monday, March 2nd, where we had updates on COVID-19, information from the CDC, from WHO, from our governor, and that's where we started our preparation, mm-hmm. led by our central office faculty and staff, which included the technology that Neil was referencing. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, started to implement, as administrators, or plan to implement hand washing for all students and a heightened focus for
this started safety. Before spring break.
This started, yes, on March 2nd. That, yeah, was our first official congregation of administrators to outline detailed steps that we would take then at individual buildings.
And I would just even share that I believe we started trainings that week, and then March 11th, 12th, and 13th. Maybe it was the 10th, we went to early release district-wide. That allowed teachers to take that time in the afternoon. And we combined as a secondary, which would be 6th through 12th grade teachers. We also were planning, and we were giving teachers supplies for their classroom, whether it was a spray to spray down desks, paper towels, gloves, in preparation that even after spring break, if we came back with the trajectory of this, that even if we were in the classroom, we wanted to keep students safe, our staff safe. So, you know, overall as a district, I can't say enough kudos at the preparation that went into this, that and the preparation that continues on, even as we move into next week with our instruction, that I think there's going to be ongoing preparation and fluid flexibility as we change up to meet the needs of the individual students. So, yeah, preparation has been ongoing. Wow, I can't believe it's been almost a month now.
Yeah. One of our goals, too, is to make sure that we looked at what we were already using in our districts so that we did not have that huge learning curve for many of our staff. You had asked about the aides and the aides being paired up with our teachers. Sometimes we have two aides paired up with some of our teachers for that family communication. So a lot of the background work has been trying to connect all of that together and make all of it run pretty smoothly. Even today, we're still connecting aides to programs that we need to have them available for them. So I can't speak high enough of our tech services, because they have been working 24/7 for the past 3 weeks, and I have to say that it's because of them that we are as prepared as we are, I think, right now. So
we could almost go down a list of all the different departments.
Yep. Yep.
You know, one department that I really want to give a shout out to is our special education services department, and how they've reallocated their aid to support the individual student based on the individual need. Our special education teachers, who have taken long hours to look at every student's IEP, their individual education plan, and focus on those goals. So those students in this situation where we're moving to a different learning platform, they don't get left behind. Their needs are being met. They're in communication with the families. So a big shout out to them, as well as the tech department. I don't want to leave anyone out. Our food service department and the delivery of the meals that they've been doing. you know, they're one of the distribution points is in front of the high school, and I can see it there whenever I'm there in the lobby, and the faces of the families, it's always good to see them. The kids that come up, even though they may not be our students, they might be from Maine or North Star or you know, anywhere, just seeing kids again. The building's pretty quiet without kids and teachers in it right now, so...
Our website is a wealth of information. There is a new tab today, I think that went up or last night, that there's a counselor tab. And speaking with one of my counselors, she really wanted to emphasize to parents, to students, how important it is for them to reach out to their counselors. So the counselors have a button on the website where you can click on it and you can get individual connection to your school counselor. During this time when there's a lot of uncertainty, when there is fear and anxiety, it will be important to have that connection with the counselors.
Well, you're dealing with two different groups, too. You're dealing, well, with three, probably. You're dealing with the teacher group, yep. And then you're dealing with parents and the teachers.
Correct.
And the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I said that twice.
Sorry.
And then, of course, we're always dealing with language differences and technological differences. But I believe the district has already hired, I think I heard, six to eight translators.
Yes.
Right.
And they have a help desk for making connections with translators that is up and running. They had training. Mm-hmm. We had training yesterday mm-hmm. on the tech surrounding that. Big reach out to all of our families that can benefit from translation services, and I'm very appreciative of the work that's gone on with setting that up.
Translating everything that we're sending out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm quite uncertain about what it looks like for a student who normally would come into a building with 20 other kids and be given an instruction now. Are you in a community class where they're all participating at the same time? How do you deliver instruction now without the other 20 kids in the room?
So I'll answer that from the student perspective. I actually have a freshman that will be at home. He's a freshman at Kodiak High School. So on Monday morning, 8:30 or before, he's going to go into each of his classrooms, look in Unified Classroom, the class page, and the teacher will have a syllabus uploaded for the high school, middle school. It's very similar. They'll probably have a list of assignments. If there's assignments out there, like a worksheet or an assignment to where they have to write an essay or in math, whatever it might be, and then he will take the day or the week going through those assignments and reaching out with the teacher, communicating back and forth. Teachers will be also setting up blue jeans times to where if you're in this class, this is what time that we'll be on, join in. There's also the chance.
That's like a Zoom platform.
Right,
where
very
the other
much
kids,
like Zoom.
So the other kids that are participating are all collectively participating
right.
at that time. Okay.
So it brings back that socialization. When you're in a class of 15, 20, 25 students, you know, you still have that socialization, even though the different cameras are there. So the teacher will be there. And then just through the day. And then after the school day, just like with any student, he's going to have homework, finishing assignments by the deadline, being able to email from his school-issued iPad to the teacher if he has questions. The teacher might set up a separate, it's Blue Jeans, but like a Zoom platform where they can video conference with a few students. There's some other resources that we have on the webpage where students can do some tutoring, every different thing like that. So I just wanted to share how he and I sat down and we kind of talked about how that delivery will look for a high school student. So, and again, as it goes through the week and even into the next couple of weeks, if there's hiccups or little roadblocks, our teachers are very flexible. I just know from talking to them, they will make changes. And those students that have internet, those will be okay. And those who don't, will figure out something to do individualized. If that includes getting paper packets out to them through the mail, we'll do that. And I believe the elementary has already started doing that. So that's kind of where I vision it to look for a high school student. And I'll turn it over to elementary folks to kind of share what it looked like there.
So we distributed through the mail 2 weeks worth of paper packets. Familiar curriculum from familiar work that students already are working in their math, their reading. Our intention at the elementary schools is a slower rollout of our technology, but paying attention to and being sensitive to those who are ready to go. If we have families and students who say, oh, I'm ready for some online connections, the teachers are taking that into consideration and making adjustments. It will look significantly different from the high school because we're in elementary school. And I also appreciate the work that every single educator,
yes.
Every single staff person in the district is putting into this, their heart, their soul, their thoughts, the creativity, because it is new. And it's frightening in a sense because of your lack of control to deliver education that you want to deliver at a high level. But we just keep saying calm,
yep.
Focused, and compassionate is what we're going for. So elementary is going to be a slow rollout of technology. Some of the teachers are already connecting on BlueJeans with students. All of the teachers are connecting telephonically with students.
I know that some of the teachers have talked about having their morning meeting. We do a morning meeting district-wide. Having that morning meeting on BlueJeans with their students so that they can connect. And they
with
can
the students?
Yes, okay. So they can connect and get to see each other and then just kind of set their day forward when they're ready for that and just say, okay, this is what we're going to do today. We'll check back in, that type of thing. So that morning meeting is part of our social-emotional piece as well, just to, you know, do that touch and say, how you doing? You know, what do you need? That kind of thing. So I think that is a real smart addition by our teachers to continue to do that with our students.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about the ability, the tech ability in the household, where people who have high-speed internet versus medium-speed internet to none, you know.
So this might be a good time to
talk about GCI.
Yep, GCI has made available internet for families and students, and they have a promo code that can be put in, and it is GCI Gives 2020 or GCI Care 2020. And that will get families connected if they are not connected. That information, I think, is on our website also.
Yes. And part of our home survey, too, was exactly to connect and say, okay, where are you at with your internet connection? And we know we have several families out in Bell's Flats that have limited connection. So reaching out to them and identifying who they are. We're working on getting devices that they can use that go off of the cellular instead of going off of any other platform to maybe make that connection a little bit stronger. But in our planning, we have planned if they don't have that internet connection right now, we're emailing, we're calling, we're, you know, doing everything else that we can do while we set them up with better technology, because that is our goal, is to make sure that everybody has equal access to that.
You get as many of them online and get things going and work the bugs out as we go along with this.
Definitely.
It's a whole new world. Yeah,
yes, it is. It changes daily. Hourly.
Yeah.
It does. Yep.
I can imagine from March 2nd to now, you're
looks
in a whole
different.
New world,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So some of the daily challenges you must go through are tremendous. I mean, every day is probably something unexpected that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Does it make it fun?
It does. I will say it does.
Life lively.
Yes.
All this week at the secondary level, our teachers have been on Microsoft Teams. It's another platform, mm-hmm. but it's where we can collaborate and have discussions, and teachers can put their syllabi on there, and we can share information. And throughout this entire week, there's been questions that come up that just nobody thinks of, and it's like, oh, nobody thought of that. Let's solve that problem. So it's not just the administration of the district that is taking a role in this. It's our individual teachers that, as they're working with students or they have thought of something of how they're going to deliver instruction, they say, "Whoa, what about this?" And then, or what about this resource? Or what about the? And the questions have been wonderful, even though challenging at times, and it makes us really think outside the box. But again, I think you said it best, is we're going to get it started. We're going to have bugs. We're going to work those out as we can. It might take a couple of days for an internet provider to come out and install internet. I'm sure they're very swamped. So, we've thanked a lot of people, but I want to thank all those folks as well that are out there working.
The whole community.
Yeah, the whole community is really, and I drive around, I see the bears, I see the rainbows around. So there's just a lot of unity in the community. So, it's a whole community effort.
Yeah. I, live with a teacher, and there's already a model out here for distance learning. You know, people have gone to college and taken classes for years doing that kind of thing. But it seems to me always that there were some people that could do that easily and some people that couldn't. And given that somebody was 16, 17, up to, however age, that age made it a little bit easier to learn at that level. Now we're looking at that platform and saying, we're going to use that for kindergarten all the way up till, end of high school. There's got to be challenges in delivering content that way and keeping kids' attention during the process, right?
Yes. I would say that primary teachers throughout the world, definitely in our district, are masters at chunking their instruction into digestible bites. They know that 20 minutes maximum is about how long you have got an attention span, and that's for an average child. There are many that can do 10 minutes. So
minute and a half
for some people. So as they are planning with each other and with families, that is part of what they are planning for, is how to coach parents into setting up a schedule for do this math problem, then take a break, do some stretches, do a dance. So this is part of the way that they are planning how they will communicate to the parents, who will be the primary provider, at least for the first couple of weeks.
And I think the most important thing is that we are not expecting students to be sitting in front of technology for 7 hours a day. That is, I mean, that's just not realistic in anybody's household.
Or healthy.
Yeah, or healthy. So,
and a tip for parents, as one with several children at home, as they're going through the schoolwork, give breaks.
Yes.
Don't fight with a student. I know might sound kind of off parenting, but they're stressed just as much. And Angie said it really good, is maybe go through a problem or two, take a breather, find out what works for the student. If your student works better at 6 o'clock at night instead of 10 a.m. in the morning, that's something of a individual home classroom management thing that you just work with your individual student and kind of just go through it. But as a parent, I know it's going to be tough for a parent that's in this new thing. If any of the parents out there, and I know this is probably going to put a blast on our email system, but, reach out to any of your teachers or a counselor or even the administrators at the school. If, hey, I'm got a question about how this is working with my child, we can give somewhat of teaching
tips,
mm-hmm. Not that's going to change the world, but at least another person that somebody can reach out to. So,
and on our website too, there's a line that you can call, like a help desk line that's going to be open until 8 p.m. at night to assist families with any questions, if that is the time that they are working with their students, that comes directly to people who are
educators.
Can help you with what work is out there. So.
And many, many suggestions from online schools have been to set schedules, set a schedule, but set flexible schedules. So if you decide that you want to start at 9, let your child know that that's when we're going to start, but then have some flexibility. But
if it's sunny outside,
correct?
You know,
you might do some, when you and you might do
take
some
the opportunity
different.
To do yep. that. Exactly. Yeah.
Or if your
take
student,
the opportunity to do that other yeah. alternative mm-hmm. learning. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be from the school.
Or if your student wants to knock out all of the week's work on Monday and Tuesday, hey, mm-hmm. that's sometimes a good reward system. If they can get their work done by a certain day, then they have some time as downtime, and you know, going out on a hike or going outside, doing all those other multiple things mm-hmm. that teenagers and kids like to do.
Is this a model that's spreading across the country right now? I mean, are other districts trying to deliver education the same way? Is there things that you've been able to pull in from that, or do you even have enough time to go look for outside resources?
Yeah, we've got a whole team that's on that. Actually, I left a meeting to come here talking about that. Districts in Alaska, too, are sharing information and passing back and forth what we're doing, so and sharing anything that we're putting together, because we know that a crowd is better than just one, right? So doing that, reaching out to districts that we have connections to, Washington, mm-hmm. you know, those areas that have been doing this a little bit longer than we have, because you don't want to recreate the wheel
right.
If something's working. So we are, yeah, we have a whole team that's working on in the background on those type of things for us.
Well, you seem pretty excited about it. I mean, most of the people that are involved seem this is a challenge and we're going to do what we have to do because you care about the kids, right?
You bet, yep.
Will this situation now this is a question we've got. Will this situation we're now in fundamentally change schooling in Kodiak? Will we now be more open to starting school later in the day, like 10 o'clock, which studies tend to show are better for kids?
We don't know.
Yeah, It's so early to know.
I think this is going to change public education nationally, worldwide.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to have a very fundamental change in the future. So, I look forward to the challenge, though.
I think one of the most positive things that's coming out of it is the partnership, you know, more of a consistent partnership that we need to have with everybody. It is amazing to me to see how, you know, Kodiak always pulls together. You know, you see those Kodiak strong rainbows, but we always pull together as a community. And I think this is a time when you can see that all over. And parents reaching out and saying, how can we help you at the school district? You know, what can we do a little bit different? We really appreciate that. So any feedback we can get to make this better for families is definitely something that we're looking for.
In a world where you're valued by, you know, grades and by reaching certain benchmarks and things and you're funded on that basis, what's changed there? Are we a pass-fail system now? How do we assess whether or not kids are actually getting to where they need to go?
I'll answer that a little bit. I don't think any decision's been made on the grading or pass-fail. Our grading will continue in PowerSchool, where parents and students can continue to monitor the grading of assignments. But going back to what makes things important in this school, and I can share this from being in education in a little while, and the thing here about Kodiak, as well as several schools across the country, is our students come to a school because they feel welcomed. And I think as long as we keep that as our number one goal, to where our students and families still feel welcome, I think that's the most important piece. So I know a lot of times we talk about assessments and grades, but this really brings the forefront of what's really important about public education.
We're also taking our lead from our state, too.
Yes.
So we have... There's a daily conference with the Commissioner of Education, and I know that they are having those conversations about what this looks like, especially for our high school students. And that's a national conversation, actually, you know, and what this looks like for them. So we take a lot of our lead from the State Department of Education on how we move forward with some of those things. It's not a decision we make necessarily.
Mm-hmm. So are you happy with where we're at right now?
Yes, we're well prepared. We are ready to answer questions from parents and from families and keep making those connections.
I think one of the best quotes I saw so far today is that it's fun learning together. So we know that this is new for everybody, but being able to shoot those ideas back and forth and have those conversations on what is working and what is not working is only going to make us better. So I appreciate, again, all the feedback we can get and make sure that we're just partnering with our families.
Go ahead.
Well, you kind of led me into this earlier about, you know, Monday morning being the first day of school and you getting the nerves and things.
Well, I wanted to share that too. It's almost like, I didn't continue on, but it's almost like it's the first day of school or the first day of a teaching job for every one of our teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
So
like kindergarten.
All of our teachers, if they go back to that very first day that they started their job in education, they are all there come Monday. It is such a new feeling.
Having seen the face that comes back from a lot of those first day teachers, you know, I do not feel good about you folks.
Oh, this is a great place for me to say our Dr. Becky Bailey conscious discipline quote is our calm creates calm for children. So be calm on that first day.
Be calm. I mean, what's going to keep you up at night? What makes you worried about where we're going?
The 25 little people that we have in our district and making sure that we're giving them what they need.
Yeah.
Whether
families,
anything.
Yeah. How we help all of our families. There will be some families that say, I got this, and they're raring to go. And there will be some families that can't say, I don't got this, because they don't want to reach out. So we really, really have to be, again, sensitive and aware.
Empathetic
and find those folks and reach out.
And so, I think it's important for families to know, too, that it's okay if you're not ready for this yet. You know, we're going to work with you on what we can do right now. And then if we can build on that later, that's great. If not, we're going to do what we can to meet the needs. So I think it's really important for them to feel okay with that and feel okay with not knowing, because it's just where we are right now. So,
Well, it's going to be a long road and you have a lot of learning along the way, but you have an important mission in the community. And, you know, best of luck to you to get to where we need to be. It looks like you have a lot of resources that you've made available to parents and to other members of the community. And I'm imagining the community probably has a lot of desire to help you do what you do too. So probably reach out to them in whatever way they can. And I imagine you'll have a whole community wide worth of people who want to come in and help you do what you do.
It's been outstanding, the outreach we've already had. So, we're very thankful.
Yep, very thankful.
Hey, thank you. I know you guys are like super busy, so I appreciate you coming in today and talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.